to break the vengeance that frowns upon the law to help us. And I'm sure privilege attention by way of a text from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 33. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When Jesus was here upon this earth, he referred often to this term, the kingdom of God, or in other places, the kingdom of heaven. That glorious place of refuge from sin and the consequences of that. A holy place. A place which nothing can define. A place where only those can go who are completely cleansed from all their sin. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Dear friends, there is nothing greater than what we can seek for. And that we seek for, we desire, because it's important to us. We have it, don't we, in our earthly lives. We lose something which is vital, something which is needed. Perhaps we're out, away from home. We've travelled there by our cars and we lose the keys. Dear friends, all other concerns, all other matters go from us, don't they? The vital thing is to seek for that which we have the most need of, for those keys to enable us to travel home. It's like that spiritually with our souls. We need those keys. The keys to the entrance to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of God. And to be the object of our first desire. And dear friends, those keys to the kingdom are found in believing by faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, if we do not have a need of this, how solemn it is for us. Those who have found that way into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, dear friends, what joy and rejoicing it brings to their souls. This is a general exhortation, isn't it, by Jesus. As he often says, ye that have ears to hear, let them hear. Oh, may the Lord give us ears to hear this morning and hearts to understand that which the scriptures reveal to us. We read when Jesus began his ministry. Oh, I think it's the same in Matthew and in Mark. And maybe also in Luke. that after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went forth into Galilee and preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was himself. He is the entrance in to the kingdom of heaven. And the exhortation was to repent, to turn about from all other hopes of entrance into eternal life. The Jews were to turn about from their dependence upon their obedience to the law, and their dependence that they were physically the sons of Jacob. Well, there was their hope. And friends, there's no pardon under the law, is there? The law is there to testify how great sinners we are, to our guilt in breaking the law of God. The law can make nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Oh, to repent, to turn away from all hope of eternal life, save that which is found in the truth, as it is in Jesus. Dear friends, as we read the Holy Word of God, and as we come on occasions like this together around the Word of God, oh, may His Word, the truth as it is in Jesus, have that effect upon our hearts, cause us to seek for the vital interest in the shed blood of Jesus, to cancel out all of our sins, and to give us His righteousness. The exhortation is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things Jesus has been speaking of, material things which we have need of whilst we're living upon this earth, food and drink, all these things shall be added unto you. This is the precept, isn't it, here? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then there's the promise. All these things shall be added unto you. As Paul said to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We read this morning several parables of Jesus. I think there was perhaps 6 or 7 of them we read, concerning Jesus saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto." The kingdom of heaven is like unto. And dear friends, on some occasions he gives interpretations of those parables. Parables being earthly examples, things which are common in our daily lives and what we see and observe and involved in. But they have a spiritual, eternal meaning for our souls. And some of them are very solemn, aren't they? That first one we read, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares," the parable of the wheat and the tares, "that when they grew, some brought forth fruit, the wheat, some did not, the tares. For a time you could not tell the difference between them. The difference was in the bringing forth of fruit." You know, spiritually, the people of God, the children of God, may bring forth fruit to the glory of God, to the praise and honour of His name. And that is from their heart. Their outward conduct in this life morally, and what we do may be exactly the same with others, and others with us. But there's no true praise, honour and glory to his name. There's no testifying, of Christ and him crucified, the love of God shed abroad in their heart. That is all their glory. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God, to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. Otherwise we grow up like the tares. And in the time of the harvest, that's the end of the world, as Jesus said, there'll be that separation. Gather the wheat into my barn, into my harvest. And gather together the tares and burn them in that great fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that other parable we read also in the same area was of a great net. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast and gathers together of every kind. The spiritual teaching there is that at the end of the days, the day of God's judgment, there'll be the resurrection of the dead, the just and the unjust. And all be gathered together to stand before his throne. And some will be put away. Depart from me, ye cursed. Those who have died in their sins. And there'll be those who are gathered together into a good place, into heaven. Come, thou blessed of the Father. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Seek it first. A sweet assurance that such an end will be ours. Jesus speaks concerning the kingdom of heaven is like unto. It predominantly speaks of the work of God and of Christ and of the Spirit. After the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. You know, dear friends, when the seed of God's truth, as it is in Jesus, is shown in our heart, it has a very small beginning. It's that influence upon our hearts to seek, yes, for the kingdom of God. To seek to know the forgiveness of our sins. And the Lord begins that work. He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. And that work, it grows. It gets greater within us. And we come to grow in his love and in the knowledge of his mercy. We grow, yes, in the knowledge of our sins, and we depend upon him more and more. And we grow to be true witnesses of the glory of God to save sinners from death, destruction and despair. Oh, his people, the true Christians of this earth, their beginning began very small. Now some of you could speak of that, aren't you? And he's caused it to grow. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to grow in his grace and the knowledge of his love. The following on, wasn't there? No, the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. That leaven being yeast, which is put into the dough to make it rise so it becomes acceptable bread to eat. as many interpretations we can perhaps make of these parables. But Jesus often speaks of this world. And like this, a measure of meal, three measures of meal. And the truth concerning Jesus and him crucified. All this leaven, this yeast, is put into this earth Christ came to testify of the way of salvation. And dear friends, that truth of Jesus, it grows and spreads, doesn't it, throughout the world. That there's not a nation, as we might say a nation, or a people or tongue, who've not heard of it in these days. And dear friends, the kingdom of heaven will never decay. We have many kingdoms, don't we, of this world. And they're great kingdoms. And there's those who fight, and nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom today. But they will not see, they will not be forever. There have been great kingdoms in the history of the world, and they eventually come to nothing. But the kingdom of God, as the vision was to Nebuchadnezzar of that, a little stone what grew into a great mountain and spread throughout all the world. The kingdom that will be forever. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, to abide there. What a refuge. What a refuge from the consequence of our sins. The kingdom of heaven, the entrance, Christ. The kingdom of heaven, of which he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to be one with him forevermore. Then we have these two other parables, very similar, don't we? We have the one of the man finding a treasure in a field. And having found this treasure, he went and sold all that he had to buy it. And also the one who was seeking goodly pearls. He found one pearl of great price and went and sold all that he had and bought it. Yeah, but you can look at those parables, two parables, in two ways, can't you, at least? You can look at them like the other parables which testify of God, of the Spirit, and of Christ. Specifically Christ himself. The treasure in a field. In fact, upon this earth there are those which God the Father hath given unto his Son. Those who shall be saved. And Christ Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. Buried in the things of this earth, in the ways of sin. But he knows that them that are his. He has a treasure here. And when he finds it, oh, it's his sovereign will but to purchase it. And he gave himself all that he had. He gave himself his body, his own self as a sacrifice. To pay the price that that treasure might be his. To pay the price of their sins. Oh, what a treasure. Oh, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord and the death of his saints. His saints are precious in his sight. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And so it is with the pearl of great price. Here it's singular, one here, one there. Oh, dear friends, the Lord goes out to find those that are his. And when he has found them, he puts them on his shoulders, it is like with the sheep, and calls and great rejoicing. He's found the sheep at his lost. He found this pearl of great price because of his love toward them. All the Father loved, he loves, that is given unto him. And he redeems them, pays the price demanded, by the law for the saving of their souls. He sacrificed on Calvary's cross, pouring out his soul unto death. What a price. Thou bought with his people and saves are bought with a price. Now no longer their own, now the possession of Christ. But also these two parables you can look at it, can't you? As we ourselves. We read the Word of God. We come and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And we find in there that there's an influence upon our soul, upon our hearts. There's that influence which draws us to know more of the things, of the precious things of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. And our heart's desire to find it, to know it more and more. And we're willing to part from the influence of the things of this world, that we may obtain it. For the truth as it is in Jesus. And that pearl of great price, oh, Jesus Christ himself, who we read of in the precious scriptures, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And we as sinners, oh, desire to be amongst those that are his, one with Jesus, eternally one. Precious. Jesus is precious, says the Word. Oh, we're redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, it all points to the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? The work of the Lord. The drawing of us to desire that work. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. There was one other parable, wasn't there, at the very end of the portion we read? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things, new and old. A householder that bringeth forth out of his treasures good and old. Dear friends, there's perhaps interpretation to this, but as it came to me, those who have sought the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. They that seek, the scripture says, shall find. They that knock, it shall be open. They that ask, they shall receive. And they become a household. Christ in them, the hope of glory. The blessings of the gospel imparted to them. And throughout their life, they bring out, they testify of the things that they have learned and understood concerning Jesus. Things old, things new, new experiences of his goodness and mercy and blessing to them. And so we live our lives, thankful for things that are past, trusting in him for things to come. And in the way we are living now, a household. Oh dear friends, what a blessing. If we are such, a householder of the truth as it is in Jesus, within our hearts, upon our souls. Therefore this exhortation, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In fact, it's the vital possession we all need. Oh, and then God speaking through Isaiah, it says, doesn't he? Concerning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And there's no other way into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, than by seeking that forgiveness of our sins. It's through prayer, isn't it? Pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us. For the Lord has said, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. There's the fulfilling of that word, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Dear friends, what are we seeking for in our earthly lives? Are we seeking great things for ourselves? Riches and honour, power, esteem, to do well in business, in perhaps authorities and power. Dear friends, that's our natural hearts, our natural desires, isn't it? But all these carnal things will one day end, because we know one day we shall die. And all that we've achieved in this world, what whose will it then be? Yes, there might be some following on of what we've achieved and what we've done. But dear friends, we shall have been separated from them. And we shall either be in one place or other. It shall neither be in heaven, nor shall be in hell. And Jesus speaks of hell as that place where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That solemn question he asked his disciples, understandest thou these things? They said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, dear friend, what do we understand? Is this the object of our first desire? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, dear friends, this precious righteousness, it's not our own, is it? But if we seek to obtain the kingdom of God through our own righteousness, we shall never get there. Our text here is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, in the next part of the chapter 7, many will say to me in that day, that's the day when that great net will be let out and all things will be gathered in to the judgment of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They were trusting in their own work. They were trusting in their own achievements, good and marvellous that these things were which they declared. But dear friends, that was a hope which came far less than the righteousness of God. It wasn't, they thought it was their righteousness, their hope. But the solemn thing was, they were cast away. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, we have it also, don't we? I think it's here also in the a testimony of Jesus, of the kingdom of heaven, in this Sermon on the Mount. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those scribes and Pharisees, they trusted in their own selves, didn't they? They were the sons of Jacob. To them was given all the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. They were a favored people. They had the law through Moses. Oh, they honoured Moses as the man of God. And dear friends, they sought to obey that law to their utter extent. They even added to it with their customs and practices. But they made the word of God of none effect. The word of God that they should be circumcised in their hearts, not just in the flesh. The circumcision of the heart being the knowledge, though of the love of God within that separates them from the love of the world. That glorious Messiah who was to be born, he was to bring in the covenant of grace, the forgiveness of iniquities, the blotting out and forgetting of all sins. That was their righteousness. He who was to be made sin for them, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because there is no other righteousness acceptable to God, is there? Than the righteousness of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who bore away the power of sin through his sacrifice, him sinless, but made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jehovah said, Cain, this is the testimony of those who enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord, our righteousness, none of our own. Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. He, our righteousness, our hope of heaven above. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Dear friends, it's not only prayer. Dear friends, it's also by the influence of the knowledge of this truth as it is in Jesus upon us. What did Jesus say at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. We've all got our own spirit, haven't we? We've all got our own different characters. Yes, some are stronger in their own spirit than others. But we've all got our own spirit, our own self-will. We've got the lusts of our flesh, those are the things we determine we want to do and enjoy and get involved in more and more and determined to do it. It satisfies the pride of our heart when we succeed and people praise us and glorify us. That's our spirit, isn't it? To be thought well of. But you know, dear friends, that's not the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who know that they're unworthy of the least of the Lord's mercies. Those who can only testify of their sins, their shortcomings, their failings. Oh, we read, don't we, that that which is not of faith is sin. And is faith found in our own spirit? No. We do what is right in our own eyes. We don't live by faith, we trust in our own selves, our intellect. But those that fear God, this is where this comes in, the poverty of spirit. Those that fear God and determine their friends to walk humbly under the influence of his spirit, his good spirit to rule their heart, to govern their words and their ways. My dear friends, isn't that to be all of our prayer? Not just at once, but all of our life. Let thy good spirit rule our heart, govern our words and ways. Let grace abound in every part and teach our tongue to sing thy praise. And as we read further down this chapter 5, after the part of the Beatitudes, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Even as we seek to walk humbly in the fear of the Lord, doing His will. Oh, let Thy will be done. That was the prayer Jesus taught His disciples. Let Thy will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Dear friends, we're to walk in obedience to His word. And there may be many enemies to us, to mock us, to do all things unkindly against us. Well, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, in our land and in the times we've been living when we haven't really experienced that. It doesn't mean to say it won't come. It's come in many parts of this world where people are persecuted for the truth's sake. You may be now by others that are around you and you have to associate with, and maybe even your families. Oh, dear friends, think it not strange concerning these things. Jesus, who was suffered much at the hands of the Jews, He said, if they have spoken against me and testified against me, and He had to suffer for the truth of the Father that gave Him to do upon this earth. In fact, surely those who believe in Christ shall suffer also. Did Christ my Lord suffer? Shall I repine? Dear friends, as we withstand and humbly cast ourselves upon the Lord for strength and help in the times of trouble. Oh, He says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we have to pray earnestly, don't we, to be kept from falling back into the ways of sin, and to put first the kingdom of heaven, to put first the desire to be sinners saved by His grace, to cast all our care upon Him. Where is the kingdom of heaven? You know, dear friends, we have. I think it's in Luke's gospel. I can just drop upon it, maybe I can't. But Jesus was speaking to the Jews. He says, don't look here and look there. When they say, where is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That's the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. That's the Saviour of sinners. That love, redeeming love, shed abroad in your heart. It's in you now. The kingdom of heaven is here now. In the presence of Christ and His pardoning love within our hearts. Revealed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is the householder then, isn't it? The householder of the things of the truth of Jesus. My dear friends, we're to obey His voice. All His will esteem, walking His ways. His ways of righteousness. Jehovah Sikkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Obey His voice. Yea, all His will that esteem. There's one word, perhaps I'll just finish, in the prophecy of Hosea. Here's the prophecy of Hosea. I can just drop upon it. Hosea chapter 10. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord and to obtain His righteousness. Well, dear friends, there's no day, there's no hour when we should not be seeking the Lord our God to be the ruler of our hearts. We shall need Him in the times of trouble as a refuge, casting all our cares upon Him to keep us in the right way, the wide way that looks unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, let us take heed then to this exhortation, a vital one. Seek ye first above all other things. It's give me Christ, isn't it, or else I die. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, other things we have need of, shall be added unto you. It doesn't mean to say all our wants shall be supplied, but all that we have need of. You know, when Paul wrote to the Timothy, he spoke very solemnly concerning that need. Having food, having raiment and food, let us therewith be content, because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's our contentment, a hope of heaven above. Then seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you.